So, Amy, we're going to be talking about life insurance and SGLI today.
You know, this is an area that I find people really don't like to think about or talk about, but it's so critically important on the off chance that something happens to you.
I agree. It's not a fun topic, but super important. So we're going to hit on how do you calculate how much life insurance you might need? What are the different types, including SGLI? And how do you think about it as you approach retirement?
That sounds great.
Welcome to Operation Retirement Readiness, where Amy and Mike, two certified financial planners, talk about how military members can prepare for transition and how veterans can prepare for ultimate retirement. This podcast represents the views of the hosts and any guest. It is for informational purposes only and should not be considered tax, financial, or legal advice. All information is regarded to be from reliable sources. The hosts are not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast. This podcast is not intended to replace professional advice.
So, Amy, in your experience, do most military members have adequate insurance coverage?
You know, that's interesting. I think it depends on the timing. So for folks early in their career, you know, maybe the 18, 19, 20 year old. So the young 20 something that's just coming in to the military, SGLI is great. $500,000 worth of coverage for a very affordable premium. That's probably plenty for most young 20 somethings. But 20 somethings have a habit of getting older and getting married. And then when that starts to happen, I actually find that, you know, there's a chance that maybe some families are underinsured, particularly as service members progress in rank. And maybe the spouse works as well. So the situation has changed. And so sometimes I do find that there's a little bit of an insurance gap for military families.
Exactly. You mentioned SGLI. It's such a great benefit for military, $500,000 of insurance. Almost a no-brainer if you have anybody that relies on your income to make sure you're signed up for that. So yeah, that's key. And yeah, I agree. I see the same thing as things change through their lives, and especially as you bring on, you know, additional kids, that can be a driver of an increased need.
Yeah, completely agree with all of that. And, you know, the nice thing about SGLI as well is that your spouse is also covered for $100,000. So, you know, it provides a benefit to the service member as well as the spouse, a little bit for kids as well. In addition, while you're on active duty, you're still covered by the survivor benefit plan, which means that if you were to pass away, your spouse will get 55% of your high three. Early in your career, however, you know, your high three is probably pretty low. So that may not be enough, as, you know, maybe your later 20s, you've had some kids, you're married, but you're still relatively junior. You may not have quite enough insurance to for your family to live the kind of life that you envision for them. So Mike, you know, one of the biggest questions, and I know a lot of people struggle with this, how do you figure out how much insurance you might need?
There's several ways. A couple are pretty quick, and you know, one we'll talk about is a little more in depth. It takes a little bit more to calculate. So the first kind of rule of thumb is 8 to 10 times your income. And, you know, that's total income. For military, you probably want to look at the BAH and BAS that you get. And, you know, that's tax free. So you may want to inflate that a little bit, 10, 15%. To just make sure you're capturing your really total income that you need to cover. And, you know, take that, multiply it by 8 to 10, and, you know, you've got a rough number. Now, if you've got SGLI, you can subtract that off, and, you know, that's kind of the delta that you'd need. For, you know, the second variation is Very similar, 8 to 10 times, but then for each child, you add $100,000 for schooling, college in the future. That might be a little much for if you're military, because if you die on active duty, there are VA programs, the Frye Scholarship, and some other things that could cover education for your children. So maybe you don't need a full $100,000. You know, maybe it's the last $50,000 to add on. So those are kind of the quick and easy methods for coming up with a ballpark of what you might need. So there's a more in-depth one, goes by the acronym DIME. And, you know, for those of you in PME, it's not the elements of power that you probably dealt with, because there's no diplomacy in insurance. So Amy, what's the DIME method for, you know, doing more in-depth insurance calculations?
So the DIME method for insurance calculations, the D stands for debt and final expenses. Don't forget funeral expenses. So debt are things like your credit cards, your student loans, your car loans, potentially a mortgage, anything that you want to be paid off at the time of your death. So that's D. Income is how many years your family needs your support. Multiply that by the cost to maintain their lifestyle. So, you know, for military, you would subtract out those survivor benefit payments. So maybe just a quick estimate is about 50% of your current base pay, because that's essentially what would be going away. M touched it a little bit. This is your mortgage. So instead of grouping it into debt, it has its own split out category. So if you don't have a mortgage, though, something to consider is that you may purchase a home later on. And of course, we'll get into this later, but purchasing insurance when you're younger is a little bit cheaper. And then the last one is education. So estimating how much your kids might need, minus whatever you've saved, minus potentially if you've transferred your post 9/11 GI Bill benefits or VA benefits that your children might get if you pass away on active duty. So if you add all of that up, so if you add DIME up, then you've got your total insurance that you need, and then you can subtract out SGLI.
Yeah, I think they broke out mortgage, because if not, it would be DIE, die, and, you know, probably not what you want to be using when you're doing your insurance calculation. So, yeah, like you said, add it all up, subtract out any insurance you have in place, and that's the kind of leftover that you may need to, you know, go find some other insurance. So kind of once we have that, you're looking to purchase, and we'll talk now a little bit about the different types of insurance. And there's really kind of two main types. One is term or temporary insurance. And the other main category is permanent insurance. So we'll talk about term first. Term, temporary, interchangeable. And really the, you know, it's for a set period of time. So you may go and buy insurance for 15, 20, 30 years because you have a defined need over that time. Maybe it's through when your kids are all the way through school, or, you know, you're about to hit, you know, you're putting it in place in your late 40s and you're going to go through your retirement when you can claim Social Security and have all your other income turned on. So that's term. One of the hallmarks of term is it's typically affordable, or at least more affordable than the permanent insurance. It is temporary coverage. There's no cash value that will build up, so that if you decide 10 years in you don't need the policy anymore, you just stop paying, but there's no money there, you know, that you'll get back. And you know, typically those also have a renewal option. As you get to the end, the insurance company will let you convert that to permanent insurance. It's probably going to be more expensive, but typically you probably have that option. So, Amy, what's permanent insurance and how's it different?
Yeah, sure. So permanent coverage means it lasts for your whole life. And so the most common sort of basic life insurance, permanent life insurance, is whole life. It obviously provides coverage until death or as long as your premiums are paid. It does accumulate cash value over time, which you can borrow against or withdraw. On the flip side, cost, you know, as term was affordable, whole life insurance tends to be more expensive. So if you think about it in terms of, you know, from the life insurance company standpoint, you know, for a term policy, the chances that you're going to die in the next 10 years are pretty small. The chances of dying within 30 years are greater. So a 30-year policy might be a little bit more expensive. For whole life insurance, you're definitely going to die at the end of your life. I mean, it just is going to happen. So for sure, that life insurance company is going to pay out that benefit. So that's why it tends to be more expensive, because there's 100% chance that there's going to be a payout. The other consideration is there are different types of policies, not a straight whole life policy, but there's other kinds of permanent life insurance that allows you to have an investment component to it. Those policies are in the world of universal life, variable life, variable universal life. Those policies are well beyond the scope of this discussion today. It's enough to just compare a simple whole life permanent policy versus a term policy today.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. Insurance is complex, and it's been numerous podcasts going through all the different types, but I think you summed up the difference between the two very well. Any thoughts on, you know, I think I'm a big fan of the term life and trying to figure out the need over time and having savings and investments that you're going to rely on when you retire, so that, you know, you can ensure while you have that need for the income coming in, but, you know, you're able to grow your other assets to take care of that when you're retired. So any thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk more about the survivor benefit and how that fits into the overall plan for military folks who are retiring. And it's really a critical decision, because that part can be sort of the permanent life insurance portion of your overall insurance plan. So like you said, Mike, it's pairing term with survivor benefit is a great idea. Term is also great if you have if there's an end date. So children are going to grow up, they're going to eventually finish their education. So you no longer need to be insured to cover their education. So term is great to cover those sorts of things. There's also considerations for when additional benefits might kick in. So, you know, if you're purchasing life insurance in your 40s and you plan to draw Social Security at age 70, well, your spouse will be able to get your full Social Security benefit if you pass away after age 70. So you may only need a certain amount of insurance through your 70th birthday. On the flip side, there definitely are reasons for people to carry permanent types of life insurance. If you don't believe that your assets are going to be enough to meet any legacy goal that you have, and you definitely want to fund whatever this legacy goal is, then that might be a role that permanent life insurance could play in your overall plan.
Yeah, definitely agree that there are things, other reasons to take insurance and maybe even put it in place, like you're saying, for legacy goals late in life, where it's not really for, you know, immediate survivors that, you know, it's your income, but you want somebody to have $1 million and you have the ability to fund that and pay the insurance company just to maintain that. And, you know, once you die, the money will go to your heirs. So great point there. So Amy, as a wrap up, few things. SGLI is great for military members, but it might not provide enough coverage. So understanding how you calculate the need, what those things are, is critically important. And the other thing is, you do have a little bit of a buffer when you're getting ready to retire. SGLI ends 120 days after you retire or separate, of a little bit of coverage. As you retire, it's probably better to make sure you're insurable before you actually retire, if you're going to put insurance in place. So thinking about that, a year, 2 years before retirement is key. Episode, we're going to talk a little more about that, about how you think about survivor benefit plan, how you can bring this all together and decide what is the best way to cover you, either permanently or again, like Amy talked about, through, maybe age 70 or whenever you plan to retire, and just kind of matching the cash flows that'll be needed with the insurance need that you have and linking that all up. So Amy, anything else that I missed that we want to hit?
I can't think of anything else. I think this was a good summary of life insurance and how it can work together. I know people are going to be really curious about survivor benefit plan, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks.
That sounds great. Thanks to everybody who made it through this probably not fun topic, but again, it's important. You hear the horror stories, semi-regularly of somebody unexpectedly passing away. And it makes it so much better if the family isn't also worrying about, where money's going to come from, if people have taken the time to understand what they need and put that in place. So again, until next time, great talking to you, Amy.
Good to talk to you, Mike. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
To get transcripts, show notes, or more information, go to operationretirementreadiness.com. Have a question or topic for the podcast? Send it to info@operationretirementreadiness.com. Find out more about Amy and Mike at their websites. Mike is the founder of Next Mission Financial Planning, LLC. He retired from the U.S. Air Force and has worked in the financial services sector since 2021. He is a certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, and a certified college financial consultant. You can find out more about Mike at nextmissionfinancialplanning.com. Amy is the founder of Instar Financial Planning, LLC. She is retired from the U.S. Army and has worked in the financial services sector since 2019. She's a certified financial planner, a chartered federal employee benefits counselor, and a chartered retirement planning counselor. You can find out more about Amy at instarfp.com.